Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
One day we will be hit with, I'm not sure who that belongs to. Is that public domain? I'm not sure who that belongs to. That used to be played on the local 4 WDIV here in Detroit, but on YouTube and it works here. Welcome to another episode of the Motor City Metrics podcast here, recapping the just completed series between the Tigers and the Royals. As the Tigers won sloppily Saturday, we'll get to that in a little bit. Take a 2-3 from Kansas City. I'm Riley, alongside Mike Papchek and Youper. Chris is enjoying a Sunday. This is a quick show because I do have bowling tonight. And also at the same time, we're just going to be talking about this three-game series and talk about Mike's favorite team, the St. Louis Cardinals, coming up starting on Monday as they kick off three-game series. That's right, Papchek. You don't think I forgot about your St. Louis Cardinal love there?
It's kind of hard to be a Cardinals fan right now. It doesn't feel like they're only 13 and 15, man, let me just tell you.
Meanwhile, the Cubs are getting the best out of Mark Leiter Jr., former Tiger Mudhen, who is just leading the bullpen. He's got a FIP of 2.57. I was doing an article on the Cubs, and I was just looking at their bullpen, and I was like, wait, Mark Leiter Jr.? What the hell? Yeah, but that's the case. Let's not talk about Mark Leiter Jr. Let's talk about Tarik Skubal, masterclass, changeup extraordinaire, as he went out today and threw seven innings, a one-run ball, striking out six, and he has improved now to 4-0 with an ERA 1.72 through the first six starts, and really just, it looked like Kansas City had him on the ropes earlier in the game. Coming into the game, by the way, too, fun fact, he is 1-7 against Kansas City with an ERA of 5.09.
Oh.
Yeah. Gross. It's one of those things where Kansas City was, they had him on the ropes a little bit, but he came back and was able to just, between his fastball and changeup, and that was just something that he stuck with. And those were his two pitches he mainly went with. His fastball was at 96, changeup was at 85. They consider a sinker. And his slider rocking, and those are some of the stats based off stack. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it was what the Tigers needed to do to wrap up a series, especially after the Matt Verling unexpected home run. We'll talk about Saturday's game in a second, too, but Friday's game, you know, you have Reese Olson going out there throwing gas, and you look, Friday's game was just disturbing on so many levels, and it was just another example of bad defense.
You're muted, sir.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah, sorry. The ninth inning just got out of control on Friday. What are you going to do? It just somehow, I have no stats to back this up, but I always cringe when in tight spots, someone hits a batter. It just seems like that leads to runs all the time. And I have no stats to back it up, but it just has that feeling, especially hit two in a row, which never happens. But that had an impending doom coming to that inning, and it just all went wrong. But, you know, also Meadows got robbed of the home run earlier in the game. It was a tight game. You know, it was basically a 1-0 game till the ninth. The Tigers can't be too embarrassed about it. The Royals, for whatever reason, have put up a lot of big innings this year, 7-8-run innings.
Yeah, I feel like Reese Olson's that pitcher this year that the Tigers are just not going to give any run support. I feel like they always target a single guy to have their worst offensive performance in a cycle. And that OA game was tough to watch for that. And I even remember watching the TV broadcast. They're like, oh, it's time to give Reese Olson some support runs. And that's they couldn't get a single guy across the plate. I think that it speaks to – if I could just talk about the series overall – losing a stinker like that first game, like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, you can't really, like you said, it's kind of just got away from him at the end. It wouldn't end. It was one of those games where, seriously, this game is not over yet, with just the runs that the Kansas City was tacking on. But the fact that they were able to bounce back and still win the series against Kansas City, who I give a ton of credit to, they're annoying. They've got all these guys that are getting on base in the weirdest ways, or not the weirdest ways, just they're feisty. And the fact that they still took this series from them, a team that they're looking up at in the standings, it was good to see. And I really did not like watching that OA game. And I watched pretty much the whole thing. I was forcing myself to. man, it was not fun to watch for me.
So Friday, I watched the beginning of the game at the airport because I was traveling back from Minneapolis, and that was where it was a weird moment where they had Justin Morneau. They had a documentary on Justin Morneau. You know how Valley Sports plays the same four things over and over again, and Valley Sports North was playing a documentary on Justin Morneau before the Twins game started. And so as that's going on, Parker Meadows hits a screamer out to right. And he got robbed. I mean, he was just, I think it was it Frazier that made that catch?
Yes.
I think. Yeah, Frazier made the catch in right field. And I just knew the Tigers were screwed. Just because, I mean, there was Justin Morneau, and I was at a Minnesota Wild Bar. I mean, I use that term lightly because all it is just an airport bar with the theme of a team that was on there. So the whole entire, if the Tigers played clean baseball and that home run when it went out, who knows? Tigers may have swept the Royals the entire series. Well, that being said, those you can't really think of what if moments. And we've talked about that before. You can't think about those what if scenarios, but it was just a matter of even you look at the unearned runs given up but also can you blame the strike zone for Tyler Holton's performance? I don't know. But he has struggled as of late. But overall, it's the starters that was the theme of the weekend. I mean, Olson went out there, had another quality start, though. 8 strikeouts, 3 hits, 1 run, and 3 walks. And that's what will carry you. I mean, even if your bullpen struggling a little bit, your starters will pick you up, and that's exactly the theme for this weekend.
You know, and 8 strikeouts against the Royals is an accomplishment. They're one of the, I think, they're either second or third in fewest strikeouts per game offensively. So for him to go out and fan 8, pretty good. Same with Skubal. He only had 6 today, but against that team, that's a pretty solid number.
Yeah. And this is a team. Well, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
You're good, man. Just happy to be back with you. Go ahead, Rogelio.
No, you're good, man. It's just a while. It's been a while since we've gone and done a show together, but go ahead. What are you going to say?
I talked a lot about Wencio Perez, and I felt like I was jumping ahead a little bit, but what a game from him today, huh? Finally seeing his bat light up. I feel like I remember here, like, what was it? He's been in the farm system since 2019, 2018, something like that. I remember hearing about him as a teenager, and I'm going to repeat myself from last show, but I when he hit that home run, I was yelling. I was so excited for him. Not only does he deserve it, just we were talking about it last week too. Just he's hitting the ground running. He is contributing to the team immediately. When was the last time really any offensive player from the farm system has been able to do that? It just doesn't happen for the Tigers very often.
Well,
go ahead.
The quality of his at bats are what stick out to me a little bit. You know, he's not waving at a lot of junk. He doesn't seem whether you want to call it nervous or overmatched by big league pitching. He's giving them nice at bats. He deserves, until further notice anyway, to be batting up toward the top end of the lineup. You know, usually you stick those rookies toward the back of the lineup, but not this guy. He's giving them decent at bats.
The one thing that is the thing that stands out to me about Winseal is, since his day one, he's been able to hit. I mean, when I first saw him in West Michigan back in 2019, when he used to be more of a slap hitter, because when he was, I mean, he was a lot of a skinnier dude when he first came through, he first came up. Mm-hmm. And this is when West Michigan was low A. He was playing along the lines. He was playing short. Nick Catano's playing third. This is how long ago this is. He's been in the system. But a couple of years ago, started hitting for more air. And that made a difference. I wrote an article about that. I talked to him about him trying to lift the ball a little bit more, and the line drive percentage started going up. The ground ball rates are going down. It wasn't so much of his speed anymore. Then the back issues, which, as you know, everybody knows, back issues tend to be something that just sticks around. It's not something that just goes away. And so to see him healthy, when he's healthy, he can hit. You want to wish he could stop doing the Chuck Knoblauch issues where he just overthrows it at second. But in the outfield, he has made up that one. I remember the series where he, against Minnesota, where he overran the ball a little bit, but he came back and made a good defensive play, dove for the ball, made a nice catch in right field. So overall, he has made up for those little things. And he's getting, if you stick him to right field or even center field occasionally, not give him a lot of innings over there, he's fine. But the question becomes then from here is, you have Ibanez coming back, and because she doesn't have any minor league options, but then you look at Parker Meadows and Cole Keith. Both Cole Keith, by the way, has the lowest ISO among qualified major league hitters at 0.12. And so that's hard. It's hard to swallow. Bobby Witt made a really good play on him today. Parker Meadows had a double today, but that was really about it. He's still batting under 100. Then you see some of his other stats, his XBA. And, you know, at some point you got to make a decision here. Do you give, because you look at the outfield situation right now in Toledo, Malloy's DHing, he DH today. You have a kind of a veteran core out there in terms of the outfield right now in Meldrus and I think Ryan Elderday. I can't think of the guy's name.
Valade.
Thank you. So, you give who gets the call down? I mean, Mike, I'll start with you. I mean, if I think Perez should stay up here based off what he can do offensively, because the Tigers need offense. However, Hinch likes a good defense. So what do you do? Do you sacrifice the defense of Parker Meadows to keep Winseal Perez up here? Or do you give Cole Keith the boot and keep Perez off on your bench and having Ibanez back at second?
I mean, first I'll just start and say that it's a great problem to have. And what I mean by that is I think it's great that we're so worried about missing Parker Meadows' defense that we don't want to send him down. Cole Keith has actually been really, really good in the field at second base as well, which was a really pleasant surprise, and it has been. I mean, he's not perfect. He's still a rookie, but he's been making plays. But that being said, I think what I want to happen is not what's going to end up happening. I think that what's going to end up happening is Winseal Perez is going to get sent back down, because I feel like this organization has always had a little bit of like a, they run on, I don't know if seniority is the right word, but I feel like they really make you earn it. And they're, even though he's hitting great and he looks great at the plate, I think like you said, with the defense, it's going to be, well, he has options, but also, like, Andy Ibanez was pretty much they need him up. So I guess I think it's going to be Perez that ends up getting sent down. And I don't like it, but I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, for me, you know, I always try to think of teams generally, and we don't, and we only have a year's or more track record of Scott Harris, so we don't know the answer to this specifically. But by and large, as you look across the league, teams like to hold on to as many assets as they can, right, until they absolutely have to jettison somebody. So it would make it a lot easier to just send a minor, send one of the young guys down instead of, for instance, dumping McKinstry, right, or dumping Buddy Kennedy. So I have a hunch that they might send Colt Keith down and get him hitting. I wouldn't do that personally. For me, it'd be McKinstry or Kennedy are out, bring Ibanez back. But because I think you can find a McKinstry, you know, looking for work on most street corners near a ball field, you know. So, but that's just me. But I'm going to guess Colt Keith.
You know what? I'm going to go with Michael Mayer here and say Buddy Kennedy. I mean, yes. Buddy Kennedy is a guy who has options. And here's the thing: like, if you have Ibanez there, who can play second and third, and I mean, Buddy Kennedy defensively might be slightly better. It depends on how you look at it, but you know what you're getting with Ibanez. You know what you're getting. It allows you to have Perez out there in the outfield and have a bat. I mean, here's the thing: he's a switch hitter. And so that's versatility that you want to have there.
Here's the thing. I did not know this until 15 seconds ago. I didn't know Kennedy had an option.
Yeah, I assumed he didn't, to be completely honest with you. I didn't think
so either. Well, there you go. Learning something today. Well, going back then to what I said at first, people, they like to keep assets if possible. Buddy Kennedy goes down. I mean, there's not even much of a debate for me. You want these young guys up, learning how to play at the big league level. I don't care that their batting average is low. Buddy Kennedy can go play for the Mudhens, and he's always at their, you know, the will call table to come back.
I mean, we got to remember Scott Harris, and his moves in the offseason were indicative of this. He said, we're going to stick with the young guys. It's not going to be fun sometimes. It's going to be bad sometimes. And he was point blank about it. That was one of the first impressions that we got of him going into this season. And I love that. I wanted to point out that none of us thought that Parker Meadows was going to be the one that got sent down. I appreciate that they're going to give him time because of his great defense, but we are starting to see him barrel up the bat a little bit more. Like Roger said, he got robbed in this series. So I don't know if he's really going to be even major league average in his overall stats with how poor his start has been. But if he can just get to that point from, like, you know, now to the end of the season, that's something that I think that they can work with his defense.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, as Michael said too, that is the big question is, when Gino Urshela comes back, what are you going to do with that? I mean, that's going to be the bigger question. And as far as McKinstry goes, as much as people don't want him on the team, the fact is, until a true shortstop comes out, then he's going to be with the team. The fact that he is a left-handed bat and can play shortstop is not too bad at it. You got it. And with, you know, because Baez, everybody was up Baez's ass last week, and then he struggles. Don't get me wrong. He had a horrible game Saturday. But it's also, until you get a consistent guy at short who can go out there and hit and play, and for the most part, Baez can do the defense part. I'm just not sure what the hell happened. Either way, there's some variables there why to keep McKinstry around. And again, even with people just want to. It's April, folks. You know, is something. But this is the end of April, so now you have to start making kind of some decisions on. Okay, there's enough at bats here to go. Okay, you got to do something to keep the momentum going. The Tigers are 16-12. They are. Although Minnesota's won 6 in a row. So Minnesota, as you predicted, is coming back and lingering around a little bit. They had a comeback. That comeback when I saw them in Minnesota was fantastic because there's nobody barely in there because they're all at Target Center watching the Timberwolves and the Suns in playoff action, which I don't blame them. You know, it was the whole town was all – teal. I think they're, I don't know what the exact colors are of the Timberwolves. I love them. I love the Timberwolves are my favorite logo in the NBA, period. It's not even close. I love their color scheme too. But either way, it's the Twins are not going anywhere. And the Twins are like, here's the thing. The Twins are doing this without a lot of like some of the offensive power in their lineup. Just saying. So.
Yeah, Royce Lewis is coming back fairly soon, probably about 2 weeks.
I mean, which one of the teams is going to be fake? Like, you can't be have four teams in the AL Central that are going to act that. Let me rephrase. I guess what I'm saying is I still don't think the AL Central is going to light the world on fire with all these teams. But Royals, Cleveland, Detroit, and I mean, you can't really count Minnesota, but they set a 6-game win streak. Like, at least one of these teams, I mean, at least two of these teams are going to fade off. And if it's not going to be the Tigers, they do need to figure out what they're going to do with the bottom of this roster, because the bottom of this roster is not playing well.
Yeah. You know, there's a help today that Jake Rogers had his first multi-hit game since April 22nd. The home run helped. Go ahead, Uper.
I felt like that was – I talked a lot of crap about all the Tigers catchers last Sunday. So I'm liking that Jake Rogers responded. I felt like he heard my words and he didn't take them too kindly. So love that we at least saw that. But I kind of wanted to bring this up. I don't see it on your little sheet here, but I was going to say the Tigers still have an open 40-man spot. Do you think – that's going to be used, like, where do you think that roster spot's going to go? Because weirdly, I think that I think a sensical thing that could happen, because the catchers are so poor right now, I could see them adding Beboom from the Mudhens as a veteran presence in the catcher, as a catcher, if they're going to keep scuffling like this. Carson Kelly looks as lost as he was when he got dropped by the Diamondbacks. So I realize what I'm saying is kind of out there, but I was wondering if that's where they were going to go with that last 40-man roster spot.
That's a damn good question. I mean, if you look at, by the way, Montero was supposed to start today for the Mudhens, did not, was scratched late. Not sure what happened. I'm trying to figure out, we're trying to get to the bottom of that. Hopefully he's just sick or something, but I mean, you look at Carson Kelly, you thought he was healthy. I thought he was turning a corner a little bit this year, and then he went back to scuffling a little bit. And Dingler today looks good behind the plate, but still strikes out too much at Toledo. I love Dylan Dingler. I do. He has a prospect. He has potential on the upside with his glove, the way he calls the game, but he just cannot hit. He just cannot hit with a consistent basis because his – he swings it way too much. Beboom. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking, then we have to have Beboom here on this roster to make the roster kind of quote spicy. It's a sad state of affairs, my friend. I know. Exactly. I'm just saying, like,
right.
Here we are on a Sunday talking about Anthony Beboom here. This is last...
I'm not proud of bringing it up, okay? But yeah. I was just they've had the 40th spot open for days now. And I know I'm expecting a waiver claim any day now, so this could all be moot maybe in a couple days. But it's just something I'm thinking about, because I really – like, if the Tigers aren't going to be one of the teams to fade off in the AL Central, they need to get something a little bit more out of their catchers. I do think so. I mean
– I agree with you on that. It was good to see Jake Rogers get off the stein today and do that and be able to provide – not only can he call a good game, but do things on the offensive side of things. I mean, this is the same dilemma they had last year with Eric Haas. I mean, remember, Eric Haas was the number one catcher, and now they're playing in Mexico. I'm not even sure if he's in the league right now. I think he might be in the minors. I'm not sure what the – I think – yeah, but either way, I would like to see if you were looking at the waiver wire right now. I'm not sure who's been released or what have you, but I think there has to be some sort of – I don't say like call up Chase Young or Keel Badu. And there's a case you can make about Keel Badu, but again, with the outfield situation, I mean, if you want to call him up for Meadows, that's fine. I can see that. You want to make a case for that? Great. but I don't see any other clear alternative right now that's on either Erie or the Tigers. Right now, Erie's offense has been, it's just been a blues. It's just been like, it's like either they get, they have to grind out every single win down there for the Seawolves right now. It's been mainly pitching and defense down there. And then the infield right now in Toledo, Kristen Hira, some people were asking about, well, what about him? Call him up instead of Torque. I know he's not, Torque's missing on center cut fastballs. Hira strikes out a 32%, 33% clip rate in Major League Baseball. That adjustment to AAA, everybody seems to forget. That is a huge jump. And he's going to probably have another clause coming up on his contract here soon, that if he doesn't get called up, he can go and seek another offer. I believe it comes up 3 or 4 times this year. That being said, do you give him an opportunity to see what he can do? But you also sacrifice that for bad defense at first, and that's what Torque's been struggling with.
Yeah. Well, the thing with all of this, let's run through a couple things there that we've covered in the last few minutes. Jake Rogers' home run today, what I loved about it was the tack-on run, right? Something this offense has struggled with at points. So that was really nice to see. And when they got two runners on second and third in the ninth inning, all of a sudden that fourth runner was pretty nice to have. On Torkelson, so much of these stories of seasons get written because of when struggles happen. He came out of the gate here struggling. If he had had just a normal month, like he did, at some point in the summer last year to start, and then had this terrible month mixed in down the road, it kind of gets lost in the noise of the season. But instead, he started off this way, and he's hitting 221 or whatever with no homers, and the clock is ticking to get a home run, and people want to see changes. They forget about the fact the team is 16-12 and playing pretty well, which, usually when your team is playing well, you're not looking to make top-to-bottom changes in a lot of places, right? But people are, they want to see someone – they want to see presentable batting averages. They want guys who are – giving better at bats, and I get all of that, but the team is built on pitching right now. They were still the 28th ranked in runs offense last year, and only brought in Mark Canna. So you shouldn't have been expecting, an offensive fireworks every night, and you're not getting it, and that's to be expected. But they are winning, and I think they need to show patience with these young guys, let them get acclimated. I think the odds are they will hit better. And that kind of builds into the point about which teams will fade in this division. The Tigers have pitching and they have depth. I think that will keep them right around where they are in the hunt. I look at Kansas City, and I'm sorry, that run differential is so high, that is going to change. There's no way they're going to keep that going throughout the summer. I expect Kansas City to slip back a little. And then Cleveland's basically playing way above their heads. They're a decent team. I'm not saying they're going to fall into the pit, but, this record they have right now is unsustainable, I think, with that offense overall.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, the next team they play is a team that has a fan base right now that's over. You talk about the Tigers fans overreacting a little bit. Congratulations. You're not a St. Louis Cardinal fan.
Oh, my God. Good Lord. You guys have no idea. They are ready to just trade everybody, and they are pissed in St. Louis right now.
Oh my! I was looking at the fan. There was a crowd. They showed a St. Louis crowd the other night, and I forgot where I saw it at. I think it was Thursday night when I was out in the casino, and we were out like just as a group. And there was some. It was a little bit of the TV was audio. I'm like, the Cardinal fans are not showing up, and it's like it wasn't even that bad of a crowd. And I just feel bad for Cardinal fans because. They're used to that. I get that, but you also have the worst broadcast. I'm sorry, you have the worst broadcast. You have Chip Carey. Chip Carey's terrible. I'm sorry. I my disdain. I will never, ever, ever. I've tried so hard with broadcasters. I've talked about this numerous times. To me, they do a good job. All of them do a good job. It's a hard thing to do. It really is. Calling a baseball game, me talking correctly, is a hard thing to do. That being said. Chip Carey is a hack about it. I'm sorry. I don't. And if he heard me saying that to him, he's like, "Oh, you know who I am." It's like, "Yeah, you're congratulations, nepotism." so that being said, I don't care. It just, the thing is, you know, it's funny. It's, I'm going to be down in the press box and he's going to go, oh, you host a pod. And it's going to be one day I'm going to encounter him one day and that's what's going to happen. And then he's going to make me try to make me feel like this and just be like, hey, I'm not the only one. Anyway, speaking of the Cardinals, they come into town this week as the Tigers continue their Missouri love. As by the way, I was going to ask you, Mike, how pumped were you? The Lions got somebody from Missouri, didn't they? The cornerback. How pumped were you for that?
Straw. As soon as it goes on sale, I'm buying a black Enos Rakestraw jersey. Man, oh, it was weird. I've had mixed feelings when take a second cornerback, but yeah, I was pumped.
So I should give some context. Mike Papchak and I have known each other now for almost a decade. Is that right?
Yeah, it's been like 8 years, man.
Yeah, yeah. So I've known Mike for a while. We used to do a show together back when I used to run an independent website called Sports Radio Detroit. And I knew I needed some more help on the weekends. And Pap was been itching to talk some baseball. And he is a Missouri fan. He can explain why and some other day and somehow. And his parents, your dad still loves the Cardinals, right?
Oh, yeah. My whole family, I'm from Missouri. I was born there.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, we're all just huge. I'm a huge Mizzou football fan because, I mean, they have great jerseys. They have a great logo. And actually, they're really good right now. But it's neither here nor there. It's hard to be a Cardinals fan right now because of the fans, to be completely honest with you, Roger. Been enjoying Tigers fans, even though I do agree with you. Sometimes the sky is falling. All it takes is 2-3 losses in a row. And both fan bases are ready to just – they're terrified. But – I don't think the hope, people are not very hopeful in St. Louis right now.
Well, I mean, when you have a rotation coming out starting tomorrow with both Monday and Tuesday games are at 6:40, head to Maeda against Steven Matz. Then you have the Tigers avoid Sonny Gray, thank God. And, Tuesday, Jack Flaherty takes on his former team against Kyle Gibson, which Tigers fans are familiar with his days in Minnesota. That'll be a good game. Yep. And then Wednesday will be Reese Olsen against Miles. Oh, man, I can never say his last name right. Nicholas.
And that's going to be a 0-0 game going into the ninth inning again, because not only is it Reese Olsen, that's their best starting pitcher. Man, that's just the luck of the draw for Reese.
By the way, Sean, thank you for the $5.
That ball is gone.
Sean.
Such a multi-time.
I'm going to throw in Sean a
off the Frickers building.
I heard that earlier today. I was watching the Mud Hens game. And yes, we'll get to your school. We'll end the podcast with your school question here in a second. And Matt Wood, by the way, with the comment here, that it looks like Tommy John surgery on Youp's glasses was a success.
Two new pairs. It was two for the price of one at Vision for less. These ones with the blue frames. People tend to love them. I'm telling you right now, I think I struck gold. And then I have another pair that I can wear umpiring, so I'm pretty excited. But thanks to Matt for checking it out.
But I don't know if you guys remember, if anybody locally who watched this, who I don't know if anybody watched a lot of commercials here locally. Mike, you might remember this guy. I'm not really sure. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But anybody, what I love about Detroit, like any other area, is the local ads. And so one of them I remember was the Sexy Specs. This guy right here. I don't know if you guys remember this guy at all. Nice. The DLC.
What?
DLC. Yeah. This guy. I mean, there was a I can't play the commercial because obviously copyright, but he had Sexy Specs and he would dance during the commercials. And he looked really weird doing it. And I wish I could, like I said, if look up, do yourself a favor, look up DLC Sexy Specs on YouTube when you get a chance. And yeah, there you go. So,
and that top left corner, he looks like Steven Seagal's creepy cousin. I don't know why. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Oh, that's good there. So Sean's question is, school bowl extension, is the rash of elbow termites going to suppress or inflate contracts? My guess is it's going to inflate average per year and deflate years. So average amount they get per year and then the less years. Thank you for the question. Eeper, what do you think?
Well, It's a great question. I'll get to that. One thing I wanted to talk about a little bit was today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Scooble, and just in general, where he's going. Damn, that changeup was just overwhelming today, didn't you think? I mean, he threw some beauties. The Royals were just flummoxed by it almost all day. It almost seems to me that that changeup has gotten to the point now where he could do fastball changeup one time through the order before he even unleashes anything else and be very successful that way. Really impressive. I was talking about his fastball last week. Today, I just thought the changeup was breathtaking. So, really fun to watch. In terms of, you know, what they're going to do in the future with him, he's had a Tommy John once in his past, right? And I think the common wisdom that you hear is that surgery tends to last 8 or 9 years before it needs to get redone sometimes. Now, there's no guarantee that's going to happen to him, but that's out there. So how much do you want to commit to a guy who's already got a Tommy John surgery on his sheet? He already had the arm injury from the year before as well. Was it a flexor tendon or something?
Flexor tendon, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, as brilliant as he is, as wonderful, we want to watch him pitch. He's going to be a big cog for whatever they're going to do for the next couple of years. I think you really got to be careful where you go with the long-term deal. Now, it's Chris Elich's money, so what do I care? But I think Sean could be right. You know, offer him less money for a couple less years, you know, to not extend the commitment past a certain amount of money. I can see the Tigers trying to do that. But, of course, Skubal is a Boris guy. So odds are if he stays healthy and stays effective, he's going to angle toward free agency.
I don't really know how much, and I wish I had a little bit more time to look up more on this, but I don't really know how much execs really care about Tommy John's anymore. It's almost an expectation that it's going to happen in a pitcher's career. It's not what it used to be. And I mean, I know it hasn't been what it used to be. I guess you could say that for 10 years. I mean, we've seen pitchers bounce back from it for a long time, but I almost just think that a team builds into it, and that's why you have to have more than five capable starters on a 40-man roster. That's what the Tigers are doing right now with Matt Manning, and I know it in a way feels unfair, but it's pretty much what you have to do. And I hate to go into any sort of sport expecting an injury, and I'm not necessarily saying that, but I don't really know if it does affect term, and if it does, I think Sean is right. It would mean, okay, if the team is worried about the term, then what he's going to ask for is a crazy amount of money for 2 years or 3 years instead of that long-term commitment. And so I think that's what Sean is ultimately asking is, if that's where the MLB is going, is that something we might see with Skubal? I don't see it happening, because I think the Tigers are going to try to do everything they can to keep him. And I think that when it's a free agent not coming from your own system, it's a little bit different than when you're signing him and you're the one that's developed him and you're the one that he's rehabbed with if he were to get another type of job.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, and I agree with much of what you said. I would say the only slight difference is that because Skubal's already had a Tommy John, do the Tigers and other teams have data on how likely is the second? You know, how likely is that elbow to blow one more time? If it's an enhanced risk, then you got to really decide what you want to do. And then the other thing, as events play out here over the next couple of years, and they decide, do they want to extend him? Well, you know, what does Casey Mize's career look like after this year? What is Jackson Jobe going to be after this year? You know, is Ty Madden a potential person to put in the rotation? If some of those things work out correctly, that kind of lessens their real need to extend Skubal, and then just enjoy what you're going to get out of him in the next 2 years.
I look at it this way. I mean, the amount of, by the way, it's Manning, Torkelson, I know for a fact, Matt Manning, Torkelson, Skubal, I believe, are some of among his clients in Detroit. I'm trying to find out the list directly, but the one thing is certain. If you look at what Boris was not able to do this year, I mean, it took him a while to get some of those extensions. Mm-hmm. Teams are playing hardball with him. And I mean, I think that if the Tigers are going to do what the Cleveland Guardians plan, which is essentially develop within and not spend a lot, which I'm still sticking to that theory that that's the way the Tigers are going to go. I think the Tigers are going to focus on development to the point where they're going to start seeing hopefully some players come out of this. And if they can stick with eternal options, they will. They'll only spend money when they need to. And, you know, it's as much as, I mean, Ilitch has shown he spent a little bit of money, but I still think, I mean, as far as like what the Tigers have done in free agency, we haven't seen much of it yet. I mean, we've just seen, like I said, just a little bit of they addressed it by 1 year deals. Do we see long term deals? We don't know yet. There's still time to see what Scott Harris does in that regard. Stan, thank you for the donation, by the way.
Exquisite.
Oh, Stan, oh man.
Off the Frickers building.
I know that's Stan's favorite, is the off the Frickers building. But I personally think it's just a matter of, again, prove me wrong. I mean, if the Tigers spend money, great. But, you know, but as far as also, Stan wants to know if Winsteel keeps hitting the way you do, you see him as an all-star. I wish. I mean, you know, but.
If he takes his stats right now into the all-star break, yeah, he's rookie of the year, really, if that's what happens.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of time before teams figure him out. If he can do this, he's still doing this in July or June before the all-star break, then yeah. But for now, I'm just going to curb my expectations because I want to see him against teams that have when teams start figuring out scouting reports and what have you come out and all that. Again, it is what Mike, as you said earlier, before we get out of here, it is nice for a guy to get called up and immediately make an impact. I mean, Gary Carpenter has had a really good couple weeks too. And he's a guy who's internal, but it's good to see somebody who punishes a mistake like he did today, that changeup that just kind of hung over there and he slammed it. Comparatively speaking, what we saw on Saturday the amount of times I saw a freeze frame of Spencer Torkelson missing a center cut fastball, it's increasing by the day. I mean, I probably see it 5 or 6 times a day. If you're on Twitter, you go on Twitter for just 5 minutes, you're about to see it 6 times before you see any more porn bots. You're seeing it more than porn bots at this point now.
You know, and I love watching, you know, some people recap games and, you know, the Tigers win, you should be happy. And, you know, there's a big chunk of their thing, Torque sucks. You know, I'm, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. I would just give them time. Keep playing them.
You're totally wrong. wrong for enjoying that. I mean, you can really, with the Tiger fans, can't seem to enjoy those little things. And so it's,
you know, yeah. Oh, I forgot one thing. Sorry. When I was talking about Scooble earlier, the highlight of my day was when he was facing Bobby Witt in the middle innings, about the fifth, sixth inning, and he buzzed 99. It was an FU heater right past Bobby Witt to strike him out for strike three. That was really fun to watch him pour the gas past, you know, probably one of the three best guys in the American League.
Yeah, it was a boss move.
I'm a little worried about how I feel when Scooble's starting right now. I'm starting to get some real unrealistic expectations every time he's on the mound. And I know they're unrealistic, and I know that I can't go into every game thinking like this, but he has looked so good this year that, like, when I turned it on, I was like, all right, you just got to get one or two runs, guys. It's a Scooble day. And I was like, man, I really have not even considered anything like that since Justin Verlander was here.
There you go.
And I'm not at all. Please do not say I'm comparing the two. I'm not going to do that. But
no.
I'm just saying it's a really nice feeling to have, and it's one that I remember feeling with JV way back in the day. You know,
Houston, you know, Houston's 8-19. Who knows if you know, there's an article coming here in the next month or two. If Houston continues to struggle, the Tigers should reach out to Justin Verlander and end his career. You know that article's coming. So, but, you know, Sean with probably the best comment I've seen in a while in here, which is, for all you Zoomers, Scooble starts are what Bill Gullickson starts were in 1991.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, he had 200 plus something innings. He had 92 strikeouts or something ridiculous. His K per nine. I got to look that up real quick, because Bill Gullickson was the, until Justin Verlander came along, was the answer to every single hero question, which was, who was the last 20 game winner for the Tigers until Verlander? Because he was just, Bill Gullickson took advantage of a team that, I mean, that 91 Tigers team was just off. 226 innings. Wow, I wasn't too far off.
No,
he no, good. 91 strikeouts. Because I remember that stat, because he also gave up 22 home runs. Then he asked for a contract extension, and the following year he gave up 35 home runs. So he went out there, and it was just before. And by the way, there's a year where in 87, he gave up 40 home runs, 40 home runs.
Sure.
And over 213 innings pitched. So,
but he was pitching to the scorer. They're all solo homers.
Yeah. How dare I? You know what? Bill Gullickson was the, like, in terms of, he was a breath of fresh air, considering that Tigers were rolling out Steve Cirsi, Scott Aldred, the ghost of Mike Moore later on, one of the worst free agent contracts in human history. Oh. I could go on. Scott Sanders. Yeah. Yeah, there's just the name of, and you know what? There's gonna be a trivia. We're gonna do a trivia game one of these days on the show when we get more time, and it's gonna be '90s Tiger starter, or it's gonna be '90s Tiger starter or pop singer. We're just gonna do random pop singer, and we're gonna do a trivia prize for it. That's what we're gonna do, because I guarantee you, there's gonna be some trivia folks out there, test your knowledge. So, but yeah, imagine being in a ground ball pitcher with this infield. All right. On that note, we're out of here. So tomorrow night, Monday night, starting at 9 o'clock, Monday night, we'll be doing the week 5 Tiger Minor recap, as we'll be looking back at a pretty interesting week with the Lakeland Flying Tigers. West Michigan getting manhandled a little by Lake County. Woodchester was in town against the Mudhens. We'll recap that. And the head of the Senators, a pretty good Senator squad led by couple prospects that they have in Washington, took on Erie. The game was rained out today, but Brandon, myself, and Chris will be recapping that. And then on Thursday, we will be back with our normal segments and all that, probably Thursday night starting around 9:15. So I'm not traveling for a little while. I'm not going anywhere until June. And then June, I'll be in Oregon and Toronto. So there'll be a big month coming up. But for myself, Pap, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Pap's going to be our regular, just a programming note of sorts. Sunday nights, Pap will be our regular guy on here. And McGonagall's doing pretty well. He had a good weekend series. He's back and hitting, doing his thing, doing really well. So that's your quick. We'll do more McGonagall update tomorrow for you. Dylan NGB. So stay tuned to Tiger Minor League channel. Please donate it on our PayPal if you haven't already. Thanks for everybody who donated today. Appreciate all the love and support. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next. We'll see you Thursday for the minor league start. We'll see you Monday. Have a good week, everybody.
See ya.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.